What is up, everyone? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. This is episode 26, and I am talking to Brandon. Brandon is an interesting dude. We actually met playing basketball. He plays with some of my friends, and until I tore my ACL, we played basketball frequently together, and I really like him. He is actually my kid's gym teacher. It's kind of one of those small world things, but one of the things that I really wanted to get Brandon on to talk about, though, is hip hop. And you may not know this about me, but I am a huge, huge hip hop fan. I have been since probably middle school. I still have memories of old school sort of hip hop and my dad letting me listen to it. And just I have been a huge fan forever. And this guy is not only a PE teacher at my kid's school, he is also a hip hop artist. And so we get to talk about not only education and his journey to being a teacher, which is its own amazing story, but we get to talk about hip hop and we get to nerd out. And I'm so excited. It was so much fun to talk about all that stuff. So this episode is full of so much good stuff. I cannot wait for you to hear it. He just has this view of life and God's kingdom that I think is contagious, that I think you're just going to be drawn in by his story and his work. And so I can't wait for you to hear him. Right now, I'd like for you to just go on to iTunes, whatever app you're on. Give me a rating and review just so people know, like, this is a legit podcast and people actually listen to it. That would be super helpful. And I'd love to hear what you thought about the episode. If you're a hip hop fan, I'd love to hear what you thought. I'd love for you to just listen to some of Brandon's music. He's got some legit stuff. I think you'd really enjoy it. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Brandon. All right. Well, hey, Brandon. Hey, I appreciate you coming over to the house, man, and hanging out with me a little bit.
Appreciate you having me, man. Yeah, this will be fun.
It's fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, always enjoy.
Straight off of parent-teacher conferences. So, you know, you're a little fried or...
Right? Just kind of a long day. Get home, get the kids out the bus, come back to the school, but it's fine.
I appreciate it. Oh, I appreciate you making time. So why don't we just jump off here and just have you introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. My name is Brandon Randazzo. I'm from basically the Wheaton Lombard area in Chicagoland area, Illinois. Living out now in Montgomery, Oswego, Aurora area. Been in Aurora for a long time. Teacher. Been a coach, hip hop artist, father of two, husband.
A lot of things
going on. You know, I guess a lot of people got a lot of stuff going on, just like everyone else. But trying to live life.
Yeah.
Trying to do the best I can and having fun too, man. So
I love it. Yeah. So let's jump onto a little bit of your story. How did you sort of get to where you are in all these sort of things that you do?
Good question.
Long story.
Yeah, great question. Just want to start all the way back in the day. Child growing up, I was had a brother, younger brother. Grew up in a broken home.
Okay.
Parents were divorced. You know, by the time I was about 10, never really felt like it was anything that bothered me as a kid.
Yeah.
Looking back on, maybe had some issues kind of down the road,
sure.
Kind of surfaced up a little bit. That was my childhood. Great childhood. Really no complaints besides that, you know. Basketball player. Played 4 years in high school.
We have played some ball together.
We played some ball. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that you know, I know that you've known even longer.
Yeah.
Great guys, you know, like yourself. And just a lot of fun. I mean, basketball, that's kind of what I did. That's how I was known. That was my identity, was in basketball. Huh. Literally, I didn't have anything else besides that. Met my wife. Basically, right out of high school. I went to high school, junior high with her, okay. But we didn't date until after that. And so then I transferred my identity from basketball to my wife, and that was that. So kind of just went into from basketball to a wife and went back to school to be a teacher after working for about 5-6 years. Didn't really know what I wanted to do because, again, all my life I just played basketball.
Huh.
So I didn't know what I wanted to do. Went to COD for a year, played basketball there, realized I'm 5'9½, and this is probably going to end right about here. And it's interesting. You know, when I get to talk about stuff like this and I look back and I said, man, had no clue really what I wanted to do. And here I am now as a teacher and father and husband and rapper.
Making it happen, man. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start then, because I definitely want to save the rap for the end, because
sure,
that'll probably be the nerd out session that we have.
Let's have it.
So how did you end up going down the road of becoming a teacher and all of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. Nothing I actually really thought I was going to do, say, in high school.
Yeah.
Even when I went to COD, I got my associates there. And then after COD, I just only went there 2 years. And I worked at a blueprint company, literally as a driver. I mean, really just wasn't doing anything. But at that time, I was coaching. That's where I think I got more of the, man, I think it'd be pretty cool to be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, just literally that's where it came from. I was coaching and I got along with the kids. The kids were drawn to me a little bit, and maybe just the way that I acted or however I was with them, And I thought, man, teaching, I think this is something that's kind of for me. And I got that, you know, out of the coaching. You know, obviously you can't really make a living with coaching unless you're in the MBA or college something.
Sure.
Whatever. So let's try this teaching thing out. That's really where it stemmed from.
Huh.
Went to Northern Illinois, basically popped out 2 years as quick as I could. I was already married then.
Yeah.
Driving literally from Aurora to DeKalb every single day. Once you start being an adult and you're paying your own college and you're married, you start looking at things a little
bit.
It goes faster, and you have an appreciation for it.
Yeah,
unlike
a
kid who's going maybe right out of high school. Looking back in that, I really can see that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of with the teaching thing, a quick story about it. I didn't get it right away at all.
Huh.
It's kind of a crazy story. It took me 7 to 8 years to get my teaching position after I graduated.
Oh, really? So you were just sort of working jobs and all that time until
I was at a collections law firm where my dad had happened to be working at years before, so I actually worked there for 10 years before I went into teaching. But again, I was only there because I couldn't find a teaching job.
Yeah, so you had a teaching job, or you had the certificate, the degree and all that stuff, and you're just sort of like floating around.
Yep. And I was literally at a point where I never thought it was going to happen. To me and my wife, it's a God story.
Yeah.
And the reason it's a God story is because literally that job opened up for me from a acquaintance, actually the principal where I'm at now.
Yeah.
I had talked to him 7, 8 years ago when we were playing basketball. I said, if a job ever opened up, let me know. And he hits me up 8 years later, literally as my kids just started full time at school. And my wife and I were at I would be home in the morning with the kids. She would come home. I would go to work at the law firm, and then she'd be home with the kids. And we didn't honestly know what we were going to do with kids going full time and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And here this position opens up literally right as the kids go to school full time, and just nuts.
That's pretty cool.
So, that's kind of how it happened. I always tell that story to people because people sometimes act like stuff happens as coincidence, and I don't think so.
No, none of that. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that story because we started playing basketball when you first got this job. And it was weird because we were playing basketball in Aurora and you were at my kid's school. Like you had just gotten this job at my kid's school. So you're my kid's teacher now. And it's
definitely,
kind of
it was definitely
little,
funny. Yeah. And cool little, too at the same time. Like, hey, I don't curry. I know, you know.
So what is it? How has it been teaching? I mean,
definitely a little bit of a whirlwind, to be honest.
Yeah.
This is my third year. First year was a half day, more or less.
Okay.
So basically after lunch recess ended, I went home. And that was, I mean, honestly, it was even still a blessing. First of all, getting the position.
Sure.
And then even making money was the same as where I was even at before.
Oh, for
so
real?
The money was
the same,
and I'm only working half a day.
Oh, that's legit.
So first of all, it tells you kind of where I was at a different job anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So that was a blessing, number one. And then now I'm full-time my last 2 years. I'm at two schools, so that's a little bit different, you know, so you have this group of kids over here at one school and then a little bit different of a demographic and whatever at another school.
Yeah.
So that's been a little bit different. You're knowing not just one school, but both schools, and you're working with two different people. So it's been a little bit interesting. It's been great, but it's also been a learning experience for myself as well. You know, kind of learning. Kind of neat as a PE teacher because I get to see both worlds.
Yeah.
Both schools.
Yeah.
You know, you're working with kids all day. Then you go home and you got your own kids.
Right.
for some people, even like myself, that can be a little, it's a little much.
Yeah, sure.
It can be a little much for me. I don't bring work home, but when I get home, I need to then realize, hey, now I gotta relax a little bit, and you're dealing with your own kids now. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's something for me that's been something I've been trying to learn to relax a little bit when you get home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
School was there and day was great, or maybe there was a couple of things that happened, but now you're home with your own kids, just kind of enjoy and whatever.
Yeah,
so
take it in a little bit.
Take it in, yeah. Yeah, just relax, you know? You're not teaching now.
Right.
You're there to spend time and love with your kids. Right. And not that you're not at school, but
yeah,
a little bit different.
Yeah. So what's it like being a PE teacher? I mean, it looks pretty legit, but I imagine there's a lot of like hecticness that goes with it.
Yeah, it's a little hecticness. Yeah. But it honestly really is. I joke all the time with people. It's a great gig.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a great gig. I mean, you show up, and the old PE mentality was like you showed up and you rolled the ball out. And that's not at all what we do. I mean, you get these kids who come in and they really want to, they need to be taught how to react in a game, in a sport, or in a life condition type thing. It's almost like they need to learn how to react.
Huh.
And this is where they're learning it for the first time.
Interesting.
So, I mean, these kids who don't play sports, this is more for kids who maybe don't play sports, mm-hmm. or even if they do, but they're still young, they're learning sportsmanship, need to learn that you're not going to win every time. You need to learn how to react if you do win, if you do lose. And what I found with the guy that I teach with, he's very good at talking about those things. And I've really learned a lot just from that.
Yeah.
Just the life lessons that can be learned in a PE class, which people may not have any idea about.
No, I had never even considered that that was part of it.
Yeah. I mean, every day, I think before we start a class and when we end a class, there's some life lesson that was that we at least try to talk about for that day.
Yeah.
And oh man, do kids need it?
Yeah.
I mean, they really need it.
No doubt.
So it's really kind of cool to be able to speak into kids in that manner.
Yeah.
And again, getting to learn from the guy who's been there for 30 years, you know, has been awesome. And one great thing that I've learned from is just that. Like I would have been like, oh, I'm just here to teach these kids the games and the focus on the sports side because I'm a sports guy.
For
and
sure.
That's kind of where I would have been kind of headed with it. And I like exactly where that part of it is.
Well, do you feel like some of your faith gets to play out even in those life lessons? And to some extent, I know it's not like, you know.
Yeah, definitely to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still trying to learn how I can do that more.
Right.
In a public school class setting. But with those life lessons, you can definitely put that in, you know, that faith-based, that, you know, even just, you know, you losing a game. Is that the end of the world? There are far, far, far more things in life than you need to worry about than that you lost at this game.
Yeah, yeah, you're teaching kids grace in that moment.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, just
somebody pushed you down during the game.
Yeah.
You know, just let it go, man. It's an accident. Even if it wasn't an accident, let it go. You guys are still young. You know, we teach them how to say, you know, sorry and say, you know, all that kind of stuff and just meet face to face. Hey, people in the world today, they can't even talk face to face, or everyone's doing it online and they don't know how to get along. I'm trying to at least teach these kids how to get along in just their own class.
Right.
You know, playing a game.
Yeah.
So like, why don't we just start there and then maybe they can do it online, you know?
For sure. No, yeah. Yes, very much so.
Unfortunately. No,
that's really interesting. I had never considered that.
It's kind of crazy.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, again, just something I would have never even honestly gone into thinking that way.
Yeah.
But now it's like, we need to do that every day.
Yeah.
These kids need it every day.
Yeah, it's amazing how one sort of shift in thinking about something like that
absolutely
just changes everything.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that. So one thing we didn't talk about was your faith journey. I mean, have you always just sort of been a Christian or is
nope.
it?
Okay. Nope. So I guess I kind of went to Sunday school growing up. My mom was in a Christian-based family, grew up that way and that kind of stuff. Not so sure, you know, my dad, Catholic side, you know, whatever. Wasn't super talked about growing up, a little bit, but definitely junior high, high school. I was like, I would have been the guy who said, there's no God. Met my wife, and my wife comes from a Christian family, huge Christian family, as far as like grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, aunts, uncles, you know, their family.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is a pastor. That's the church we go to.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. So I just started just going with her to church, just kind of like, hey, because I just wanted to be around, you know. Not
it's amazing
even.
How women can do that.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, it's always a funny story. That's funny because anytime I say that, I want to say 5 out of 10 times, you kind of hear that from another guy. Like, yeah, I kind of did that thing. You know, I just wanted to be around her and show, hey, I'm here. You know, and that's kind of why I honestly just started going.
Yeah.
And I was pretty hard-headed. It took me 3 or 4 years to kind of get to a spot where I was softened up. Finally, I was like, hey, I believe in God. Huh. It kind of came. I was 24, 25 years old. We were about to get married. And we were actually taking a marriage class at the time. And we actually, it's always a corny story, but we saw The Passion of Christ. And here I was going to church for 4 years. And I mean, this is how just, you know, people will talk about this and that about certain things, but you never know what might speak to you. Well, here I am going to see The Passion of Christ, which people will talk, you know, yes or nay about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I left weeping. And I was just like, I finally got a visual. I guess I needed some kind of visual to everything that I've been hearing and anything I was feeling and whatever. And it just all let out there. I repented and, you know, all that good stuff, you know, you do when you finally give your life to God. And I did that. I remember in the car on my way home, headed back to my in-laws, and that's when I gave my life to God. But so
that's a powerful story, man.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I guess everyone's story can be crazy.
I think that's really cool, though. I'm sure there was a interesting discussion once you got back to your in-laws' house.
Yeah. So there wasn't.
No, really.
The reason was is because I do like to keep. To this day, I'll still keep to myself a little bit, but I have come a lot out of my shell. I know how important it is. I'll speak till I'm blue in my face, how important community is and all that stuff. But at that time, I was still extremely to myself. Huh. So I remember we went out to dinner with my wife and I, and I actually told her, I said, she goes, oh, she was just kind of talking. I'm like, well, I'm saved. Because she wasn't quite sure. I had never actually said those words.
Yeah.
You know, and then I told her about, you know, just that day we went to the movies with you and your family. And, you know, it was a couple of days, you know, before that.
Really?
We're sitting at Chili's, you know, sitting there talking about it, you know. So yeah, I mean, 24, 25 years old, we were young, we got married all that stuff. But yeah, so that's when I told her about it. So there wasn't no big discussion.
Yeah, that's
I kind of kept it to myself as I cried in the car on my way home, you know. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah, kind of interesting.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. I kind of have an interesting story as far as like, so I got saved and then we got married and all that stuff. 7 years later, we had kids and then I kind of fell wayside from there and just kind of, I don't know, just got super selfish just started to go down my own path. And about 7 years ago, I rededicated my life back to God. And when I say rededicated, I always tell the same story. When I first came to know God, I just believed that there was a God. And then now there's a relationship with God. And I always tell people that because I don't feel like I had a relationship. I just believed there was a God. So now I have a relationship with God, which is so much different than just, oh, yeah, I believe God exists.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So.
No, very much. I think that's a good word for people because it really is like. This head knowledge, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I believe there's a God, therefore I'm saved. And you're like, well, it's about knowing. Yeah, knowing him.
It's about knowing God and like actually trying to live your life. You're giving your life for him, you know, you want people to know about him. You want a relationship with God. You want to get everything that he can give you in that moment of time, you know, when you're praying and when you're seeking him and stuff like that. And that wasn't before.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't surround myself with good community at the time and stuff like that. And now I at least have that.
So do you mind me asking what brought you to that realization that there was a difference there?
Yeah. Marriage problems on my doing. A lot of selfish things and of that nature. We had just had kids, I remember, at the time. And I just went into a selfish spot. Yeah. And that's literally. So I always tell the story. I remember sitting in the park with my wife, just kind of discussing what's next and breaking down. And I always tell people when she was speaking, I believe that it came from God. Every time that I look back on the moment, I don't think it was from God. I know it was from God. And just everything that she said as far as any forgiveness, any wisdom that she spoke was directly from him and exactly for me. And that was 7 years ago, and I'm continuing to go with what was said that day. Wow. And just tell people about it and tell people that God is real, God is with us, and people are going to know when they hear my music or when they just talk to me and we get to talk and you really get to know me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's beautiful. I mean, that's awesome. I love that. It's amazing how, I don't know, this is totally a tangent, but how one moment can change everything.
One moment. Yep.
You know, in my mind, like, life is sort of this long, drawn-out process, and you get to somewhere via long stretches of time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not how it is.
Right.
There's moments where there's a decision, like, you're either going to follow Jesus or you're not, and you may not get that moment for a long time, you know? Right?
This is correct to say, I believe. You may not get that one moment back either.
Right.
I mean, who knows, but... If there was a choice there in that moment that was I could sway that way or I could sway that way.
Yeah.
And I chose God's way. Yeah. I chose God's way in his direction. And it was tough. It was tough even at that moment, you know, to just still wasn't even sure, but I knew the other way wasn't it.
Yeah.
So
nice little come to Jesus moment there.
Yeah, it was.
Literally.
Right? It really was. Yeah, it really
That's
was.
That's awesome. Okay, so, all right. I think it's time.
We can
talk hip hop. Finally. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'm just going to have you. So how did you get into all of this rap stuff?
So game? I grew up on it. All the good stuff. The old Tupacs and the Biggies and the DMXs, whoever you want to talk about back in the day. And Coolio, I remember listening to Coolio, I remember the one song that kind of started to inspire me back in the day was, I remember I was in junior high, I actually had a room in this area that we're talking right now in, this kind of a smaller space or whatever, and that was my room, and I had a desk in there, and I had a radio player that I could put tapes in, I could record, and I remember recording Gangster's Paradise from Coolio, and man, that was, to me at the time, it was just super like, man, this is so cool, like, just writing about stuff like this and whatever. And I just remember, this is just so neat. Like, you get a chance to, I was a kind of keep-to-myself guy. It was nice to just be able to write your thoughts or write how you were feeling at the time. And that's really where it came from. You know, I did it in high school. I had a buddy who we did some cool stuff with. We'd record on the tape player and the karaoke machines and do all that stuff. And after high school, I stopped. So I kind of went through junior high, right? And I had the notepads. I probably had two full notepads of just lyrics.
Wow.
Probably junk looking back at it. But it was cool.
Yeah, like, it's formative.
I mean, we loved doing it. You know, it was fun.
Yeah.
And I stopped after a while. I started to date my wife and whatever. So I just kind of put that in the back burner. And then to kind of get to more of today, but my stepdad died about 9 years ago. And I wrote a song for him. So I didn't actually really rap much until my stepdad passed away, so out of high school. So I probably took about 5 years or so off, maybe a little bit more, 6 or 7. Yeah, so it was weird. I wrote a song about him, and I got back into it, you know, as an adult, and more like 26, 27 years old. Still not quite sure where I wanted to go with it. Still writing songs. Not putting curse words in it now, because here I am with my wife, and I think I was just doing it more of the... I think I was convincing myself that I wasn't doing it because I thought it was bad, but I was just kind of like, I don't think my wife would approve of it, or what would people think if I was swearing? And kind of coming from that more point of view. But when I rededicated my life to God about six and a half, seven years ago, it was it's Christian hip hop now. Just about every one of my songs is definitely going to point to God.
Yeah,
and if it's sometimes I may have a little fun with lyrics and you know what I'm talking bars and all that stuff, but the end message usually 9.5 out of 10 times will be God at the end. So, and that's where I'm at now.
I love it. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You put out a lot of music though, right? You write quite a bit.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. it's nice because I always give my wife credit again on this one because she's not a late nighter. So if I want to go down after we watch our show and have dinner and watch a show with the kids and all that kind of stuff, I have time. I'll stay up. I'll write. Last 3 years, I'd say my last 3 years have been some of my best music because I've gotten a chance to just write. I have summers off.
That is a nice perk, huh?
I mean, this last summer, I probably put out 7-8 songs with videos. I mean, it's just because I have the time to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really been a blessing to have the summers, and understanding wife who lets me live out what we believe is a gift, you know, that I'm able to use. And yeah, it's really neat. It's cool. Neat to have the blessing of your wife. It's neat to have, you know, encouragement from those around me. And I'm in it. Like, I just think it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, I just love putting it out.
Yeah. Well, you've got a whole crew, it seems like, of guys that sort of you make music with and are constantly sort of.
Yeah. I mean, I think the neat thing about music is the people you get to meet.
Yeah.
Whether it be other musicians or not. I mean, you put out a song and someone likes you, you never get a chance. You don't know them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the cool thing about social media. I mean, social media has its negatives, but man, it has some real positives too, as far as anybody who's a musician.
Yeah.
As far as getting stuff out there and getting your message out and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's been cool to meet different musicians and do features and, you know, be able to do music with other people and talk music and pick brains and all that kind of stuff. So that's neat. But getting to meet the people that are worlds away, that will send you encouragements. Hey, your words spoke to me, and I live in Fiji. Like, how awesome.
For real?
How awesome is that?
That's amazing.
I mean, to me, I'm blown away every time. Anytime somebody wants to comment or something, I'm quick to respond, because that person did not have to take any time part of their day to listen to Brandon talk for 2 minutes on a song. Right. And I'm geeked to get I'll be honest, I'm geeked to get a comment from somebody when they say, I just think that's so awesome. They took time out and they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's great.
That's
So, but yeah, so many cool people you get to work with, whether in your church, you know, get to come out, get up live sometimes. I see you even live up there at your own church service. I mean, how neat is that? And then, you just meet so many people in it, you know?
Yeah. How did all that church stuff come about for you? Like,
I always give kind of credit to my brother-in-law, Steve Van Denen. He was the first one to actually instill the confidence in me. He knew I liked to rap and kind of did some of that. And he had me come up again about 6.5-7 years ago and do something live, which, if anybody knows me, I don't like to speak in public. Here I am with a teaching position that I've done for 3 years, rapping in front of people live, and even, you know, on putting it on Facebook and that kind of stuff. But that's nothing I would have done 7 years ago. Huh. So here I am doing a cover to Lecrae Boasting, this song. And he sung the hook, and I did Lecrae's part.
That was the first one.
That was the first thing I did live. Yeah. And it was so neat. Yeah. I mean, it was so cool. And again, to this day, I give him props for believing me to even come up there and do something like that in front of church that he started with, you know, others, and taking a chance on me. Meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
So that's
sure.
kind of where, and I haven't looked back since, to be honest.
Yeah.
I keep writing, different things come up, you know, and do other live stuff and record and all that good stuff.
Yeah. What sort of feedback do you get from the church and your rapping and all that stuff? Do people generally, because you do it during worship, you know, times of music and that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, people seem to enjoy it.
Yeah.
My church specifically, I've always gotten good comments, you know, coming up to me. Yeah. I love what you do up there. It just brings a different element to the worship and that kind of stuff. And of course, that's great encouragement, you know, because you get up there and you're a little scared. And to this day, I get up on stage and I'm nervous about it, you know, anxious. And that's always awesome to hear comments and encouragement.
When it speaks to people, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, you've been up there as well. So you come down and people are like, hey, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and you're always your worst critic. Oh, I slipped up on this line, you know. They don't care.
And nobody
cares.
Knows.
They don't even know that you slipped up on the line.
Very much so.
Anyways. Yeah.
Well, to that point, I preach, you know, every 3 weeks in my church or whatever. But when I get up to rap, it's like a whole different nervousness, you know. Like, I don't get nervous like preaching anymore, but man, rapping. Gosh, it's like putting yourself out there in a different way.
Boy, it's just so on the spot too.
Yeah.
I mean, here you go, you got your 12, 16 bars, whatever you might be putting on there. And you know, you don't want to mess up.
Any
human being doesn't want to go up there and mess up in front of people.
Right.
I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
That you have a little pressure on yourself.
Very much.
You go up there and preach a message. I say all the time, God, that is so crazy to me. You go up there and you spend all week, you know, looking into the, you know, praying, asking for God for his words to speak, you know, that Sunday. It's got to be, I know it's got to be exhausting and it's awesome, but you don't have 16 bars to put it into. You got an hour. You got 50 minutes, which again is tough, I'm sure. But anyways.
No, I'm with you.
It's crazy.
It's a very different thing.
Different.
Very different. And I don't, you know, rap that much, and most of mine is covers. So I guess maybe that's, people do know better if it's, you know, if it's messed up on a cover, right?
Ooh, I know that line.
Very few people at church actually know most of the stuff, though, right?
That is true. I do find even, you know, we're at a younger church, or our age ish. I guess. I guess we're starting to get
older.
We're still young.
We're still young.
But I still find it amazing. A lot of people not a lot of Christian hip hop listeners, unless, I don't know. I mean, you'll get your handful of people, but still not a lot of tons of people who are,
or like even
into it. You know,
if they are, they know like certain
Lecrae
songs,
but they don't know
There's not the deep dive, right?
No, yeah. So that's always interesting. Yeah.
I feel like that's what I bring to my church is like a little culture in that way. Like,
absolutely.
So in the pre-service music, I always try to throw in a little hip hop,
a little bit in there.
Like, you know,
agreed.
You need to listen to the same old stuff over and over again.
Yeah, and I think it's just cool because I remember a great story where I happened to be upstage one Sunday, and a family that I know have been going to the church that I've been at for, I don't know, however many years now. I remember them coming up and saying, man, that was the first time I had ever been to church, and there you were rapping up there. And I remember her and her husband saying, we knew this was it for us. We knew this was for us.
That's awesome.
Like, whether or not they thought my bars were awesome or whatever, they just thought, hey, this is cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like that you guys are using a different element
different.
Of worship and, you know, speaking and whatever. So it was just kind of neat to hear those kind of stories where you did something different and now you have these people here because you decide to take a chance on something different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of neat.
That is neat. There was a guy, he's a guy that goes to my church. He's a neuroscientist.
Okay. So this is interesting.
He plays bass, right?
Okay.
And the first year, because I always rap on Easter, the first year,
nice.
He was horrified, right? Like he saw me get up and he's like, has an Anglican background. And he was like,
wow.
He could not believe that we were rapping.
Sure.
The second year he played bass during the rap.
He loved it.
He was like,
I'm in.
Right?
I'm in on this.
It's funny how it
and
changes.
And that's so crazy. I mean, when you put out rap music that is Christian, you know, and it's, you'll get these people who never listened to rap in their life.
Yeah.
Or they have a really bad connotation. Is that a really whatever?
Yeah.
About
they think
the music.
Yeah. Sure.
And then they hear it and they're like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of rap music, but this was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it will be a comment or something like that. And it's just like, how cool is that you got to change somebody's mind about something you love to do and they got the message from it?
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Very much so.
That's awesome.
Very much so. So what is it about hip hop that like you feel like really speaks to you? Why hip hop or rap?
Yeah.
You know, why do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was I don't know, I guess you wouldn't even just take it back to your my childhood. I was a hip hop person.
Yeah.
You know, I liked the clothes, I liked the style, I liked really even the culture of it.
Yeah.
Not even necessarily like the, you know, the bad part of the culture of, you know, hip hop rap that can be bad, you know.
Well, even playing basketball. I mean, that's part of the culture, right?
Basketball, just where I grew up.
Yeah.
I happened to grow up in apartments all my life. And I mean, a lot of basketball being played. There was courts at a lot of the apartments. Just the people in that area just happened to be more of that in that culture, you know, hip hop culture for whatever reason. And that's where it came from. I mean, I just kind of fell in love with it. I think it's just so neat. Just, The lyrics, the flow, the beat, the clothes, I just thought it was neat.
Yeah.
And I am 37 years old and still in it. You know, it's a little different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still the same in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's a little bit of a look. It's a little bit of a you still want to get your message out behind the mic, and there might even be a little swagger to it which I think is okay.
I totally
as long agree. As you're, as long as you're putting out the right message.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And I think a lot of other people are too.
Yeah.
And if they're not, that's okay.
So what does your creative process look like then for sort of coming up with?
A lot of it can be just a thought. Sometimes I always tell people there's definitely times where a lot of my music stems from my testimony. So when I usually write a song, it's going to be based usually from testimony of what happened in my life. But as far as like the writing process, I got a desk, I got a studio in my basement, I got my own area, which I think is huge for a lot of people. If you have your own area, you know, when you sit down, you can start to create. You know, a lot of times I'll look for the beat first, you know, find a beat that's kind of speaking to me or
so
whatever.
So what does that look like? I mean, you're on the computer and like...
When I was kind of starting out more, I was just online looking for beats, beats. You can go on YouTube, you can go on SoundCloud, whatever. There's all kinds of different spots you can find beats. Now it's kind of cool because when you start to meet people, send you beats or you know exactly where to go now to lease them or buy them, or I make some sometimes. I have a few songs that where I made my own beats. So you can use a good old Mac for that. Simple as GarageBand or Logic Pro or whatever. You sit down and make a beat. Huh. So that's not something I'm super great at, but it's been good enough to be able to put out some songs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because usually there's an MC that sort of does the lyrical side of things, and then there's a DJ that's sort of rocking the
The producer making the beats or whatever, And there's just so many producers that make great beats. It's just awesome. And I don't want to say it's an underrated thing, but man, if you got a good beat, it's pretty hard to mess it up.
I totally agree.
I mean,
the two things really have to come together. You can't have a good song lyrically with a crappy beat.
Not a very good beat.
Right? It's not going to speak to you and vice versa. I mean, if you're like, oh, this hook or whatever, it's just like, you know.
I think there's something real special when, you know, people, I want to say notice that even, you know, it's like they know that beat came together. They think your lyrics came together and it all came together perfectly. Yeah, boy, a nice beat. Because when I hear a good beat, I mean, I can literally have that song written in 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
It just flows, huh?
It just flows. And with me, I always, if you want to, about the process, I always get the hook first.
Okay.
I always write the hook first, and then you
make your
verses.
So what is the
verses.
Hook for people who may
A chorus.
A chorus, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Or bridge, I guess.
Yeah, right.
However you
But wanna. It's the sort of, it's the maybe sung part as opposed to like the rapping part necessarily.
Yep.
It's,
or the identity of the song almost, you know?
Yeah.
The hook is usually going to give you the what's going on in the song, you know, for sure. Or the chorus or whatever. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So you write that, then you just start writing those verses.
Okay.
And to me, I always feel like a two verse song is great. People don't want to listen for three verses. They want to hear two verses. Oh, just something I've overcome in the or realized maybe over time. And videos, people want to see
videos
it.
Videos are huge.
People want to see it. They don't want to just hear it.
Well, and you've been taking the video game to like the next level recently, right? I mean, that Cage song.
You
like literally found a
cage, UFC cage.
Yeah,
man. And you know, the video thing is something that's kind of come over the last few years, because that is so cool. Videos, and the stuff that people can do. I'm not even close to some stuff that some people can do. Video, you know,
it's a whole nother
monster,
right?
And it's so cool. I got like Final Cut Pro and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're rocking the big game.
I've learned some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Bought some cool stuff to kind of go along with it.
Yeah, because it does like effects, right? You like to buy effects that sort of like do.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to add some of that cool stuff to just kind of. There's nothing wrong with it. You see somebody do something cool, you want to do it too. You want it in your video. You want it in your stuff. And yeah, man, all that stuff is just so neat. Like, so neat.
Yeah.
All of it. It's just another way to be creative. And again, with me, it's about getting God's word out and getting about even feelings that I'm in or life experience or testimony. All that kind of wrapped is what my music is.
Yeah.
But all that stuff can be used to get that out there.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's a lot of fun.
That's so cool. That is so cool. What about influences? I mean, how much do influences like play into sort of your flow and all that
I think it does. Okay. Number one, yes, I think it does. Yeah. Influences. I think a lot of people definitely legitimately will create their own sound, but not without starting with an influence.
Sure, very much so.
I think very much so. I mean, someone like me growing up on Eminem.
Oh, really? Eminem would be the...
Eminem was somebody I grew up on. I was like, hey, to be honest, here he is, a white rapper.
I'm
white. Yeah. Totally was drawn to it.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed people like Cannabis back in the days. Okay. Jay-Z. Biggie. I mean, anybody.
Yeah, right.
Anybody who likes rap is going to name those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
But some, like a cannabis for some people who
don't
know.
I don't know cannabis, actually.
I'd say look them up. There's obviously, nowadays, again, it's probably not our thing with the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you might see why listening to them.
For sure.
I'll show you a song. We can talk about it, whatever. But those are like some influences for sure.
Yeah.
And then more people like nowadays, like I love like Andy Mineo.
Oh, dude, Mineo.
NF. I just like the way.
Because he's got an Eminem sort of flair to
absolutely,
him. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I honestly just like, with a guy like NF, I just like the way that he's just portraying where he's been in life, either feelings that he's having right now. And I can relate to that. Like I like to write from things that are happening in that moment. Like, so this week I struggled with that. I'm going to write about it.
Yeah.
God put this on my heart. I'm going to write about that.
Yeah.
Someone like NF, I think, does that. He's kind of to me, a walk the line of Christian hip hop and other things.
Yeah.
But whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But yeah, and Andy Mineo, Social Club.
I love Social Club.
They're very different.
They are.
And very cool.
Like,
I just think, again, getting the message out in a very creative way.
Yeah.
Those are the three people. I listen to more local people than I would those more people, even like Lecrae is so popular.
Right.
And nothing against me, some great music. One of the people when I first started doing Christian music, Lecrae, R. Swift, who's, you know, that's definitely a little bit back there now.
Yeah, right.
And K-Drama, which is more of an upper tier.
Yeah.
But a guy who's been around for a long time and a lot of people would know him.
Okay.
Anyways, so those are the three like first Christian guys I heard.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man. To me, at the time, they made Christian rap cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, when I was first a Christian, so I was 18 when I became a Christian.
Yeah.
The church that I was going to had like a record store. Like it was one of those new, we were in a strip mall.
Yeah.
Right. And there was like they had a record store in the front.
Wow.
And so like I'd go in there and look rifle through the Christian hip hop, you know, and it was all those guys. Right. Trying to think of the truth, you know, and
the truth
was with Cross Movement.
I've heard that before.
It's kind of a funny, but Christian hip hop has gone from sort of from where it was to like it has reached this whole new level. I would agree.
Right? Yeah,
because we were watching a commercial during football or something the other day, and like a Mineo song was on the commercial. It's like
amazing.
They're huge now. It's a different world.
Yeah, and I don't know how Christian. Who was the first Christian music rapper? You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
but I guess more of what I've heard was there's a lot of discussion today how Christian music was every word was God.
Yeah,
Which I'm totally not against.
Yeah,
I have songs where it's almost like the whole song that's just what's being said.
Right.
And then it's like nowadays you may have some more bars, a little bit more swagger and just kind of whatever, but then it's still got the God message in it, which is where I kind of feel like I kind of fall in at.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I totally agree.
But it's
a
little bit different nowadays than it would have been back then. But like if you were to just sit there, I tell this to my wife, if we're not going to meet people where they're at, then how are they going to learn about God?
Amen. Yeah,
so if I'm going to put a song out that kind of sounds a little cheesy or corny to them, which again, anybody can argue that if it's cheesy or corny or whatever, we're supposed to just spit God from the rooftop every single moment of our life, which again, I have nothing wrong with, but how is that going to reach that person over there who just thinks that God, every sentence in a rap is corny, and you could give him a little bit of swagger, a little bit of flavor. And now all of a sudden he's listening to it and he's thinking about, man, this guy over here, this BRM, he's talking about taking his mask off. Why is he talking about taking masks off? Like, oh, he's talking about, oh, so we can be together as a population and be talking about God and sharing our feelings. Oh, okay. That's interesting. So to me, you have to meet people there.
Very much so.
Instead of just maybe you give them something that just they might think is corny and just automatically dismiss. And it's an argument that people have
Christian
hip-hop.
But that's been the change, right?
But that seems to be the change.
Yeah, it was all like God is good and gospel and I'm all down for that.
That's great.
But it wasn't legit in the world of hip-hop.
Is it missing people?
Right. And now you have like legit, like some of these guys are legit in the world of hip-hop at large. And I think for artists like you, it pushes you to this next level of what Christian hip hop can be.
Yeah.
Right.
And right. I think so.
Where your message can go.
I think so.
Totally. Yeah. Because
yeah.
At some point, Christianity, the gospel and all that stuff is good. And we all know that. But
absolutely.
At some point, it has to affect our real lives.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing it never got to back in the day, in my mind.
Yeah. I think you're right.
And
yeah.
I think that's something you hit really well, is that like, no, this is where the gospel like changes my life.
Yes.
And how it makes me better.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes. And that's yes. 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 Again, it's like, how can you reach people? Number one, you may have people who don't like rap music.
Yeah.
So how are you going to reach them with what you're doing?
Right.
And it may or may not. And how are you going to reach those people who think Christianity is corny or any of those words, and they're just going to dismiss it right away? I'm going to meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
And if they like a little swagger and they're saying, I'm going to give them a little swagger. I'm not going to lose who I am
in
doing it.
Right.
And talking me.
Yeah.
But I can be creative with lyrics, and there's nothing wrong with thinking, you know, there's nothing wrong with just giving some lyrics. And to me, there's nothing wrong with it. Does Steph Curry go out and play basketball and just dribble like George Mikan?
Nobody would.
Does he just go out there and dribble like George Mikan? No, he's got a little flair to him, and that's okay. That's okay. Now, should you be taunting and whatever maybe after? Maybe not. And I'm not knocking anybody, but I'd like to give that example. Yeah. Like Steph Curry's out there with some flavor, and that's okay for us as artists too, to have a little bit of flavor.
Well, it's entertainment, and I think entertainment adds value to people's lives.
Ultimately,
right?
it's entertainment.
Yeah.
It is a ministry. It's entertainment. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, again, a totally random story. So, met me on Instagram, liked my music, hit me up, asked for my phone number. We're chatting on the phone for an hour.
Wow.
Like how crazy is
that's
that? Somebody
crazy.
I don't know, he lives in Georgia, just wants to talk music, wanted to speak into my life about what he thought God put on his mind. And we just chatted for an hour, talked about family, talked about God. You know, here we are talking, and this is all because of music.
Yeah, it connects.
It was just something I think was fun that I, you know, initially did was because it was fun. And now it's also ministry, it's entertainment. And here are two guys talking that never once knew each other. And here we are talking about life and God. I don't know. That to me is kind of that's what it's about.
I totally agree.
I don't know. What else are we doing here then?
Yeah. So, okay. We should probably hit my last two questions because I could be here all night talking
hip-hop. Let's
do
it. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first question that I have for you is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
Strangest job I ever had was I tried to sell and. Almost anybody coming out of college would almost Cutco.
Ah,
it was
Cutco,
the selling the knives
and
talk about a job that was totally out of the realm of anything that I would be able to do at that time.
Well, because I'm thinking you're an introvert.
Yep.
Would you call yourself an introvert that you don't like?
Yep.
Yeah.
Even sales to this day would be tough for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to try to get somebody. Yeah, that'd be that's tough. Especially something that you don't even like want to be doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like for me, like I'd love to put my music out for people to hear
because
I believe in what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing and all that good stuff. But to go sell some knives to people that you don't know, and especially again at that time, Cutco, selling knives.
Dude, did you do a lot of cold calls? I mean, did you like show up to people's houses or was it more like family and connections? And
I did one sale with my family and then it was someone I played basketball with. So I tried to like go by his mom's house and sell it. And she was like, nah. And I'm like, and I was like, nah,
all right, I'm out.
I'm done. I'm not going to sit here. So that lasted like a week.
Okay.
Was the strangest job. Trying to sell knives. Just unbelievable.
That's hilarious, man. I love that. Okay, so, and then finally, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring God's kingdom into their vocation, what they do?
Yeah, to their vocation. Again, I've expressed the feeling of how do I do that for my vocation?
Yeah.
You know, I've struggled a little bit, like how am I going to do that with kids and in a public school and that kind of thing. But that being said, in other vocations, whether I should feel more comfortable about it at school or not, you can definitely, there are so many opportunities to bring it. If you're at a sit down job at your work, just mention, I even found when I was at the law firm, just mention church.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I go to church.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you have this conversation about how, even what they think about church. They may even like church. They may not like church, but there's your chance to be like, hey, you know, hey, I like church. Yeah. And I like church because.
Yeah.
And then there you go with your story.
Right.
And there's the seed's been planted right there then. So it's like, hey, you know what? Just say something so simple at your vocation that just has anything to do with God. And especially in this day and age, you're going to get a reaction, whether it's negative or positive.
Right.
So don't be afraid to do it.
No, it's good stuff.
And I'm speaking even to myself here, even being in a public school right now.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to do it. You know, so that's the advice I would give.
I love it, man. I love it. I appreciate it. Dude, thanks for coming over.
Thank you. This
has been
fun.
It's so fun to talk some rap and stuff, man. I haven't gotten to do that yet. It's so good. So
well, we need to do this more often. We're not too far. Again,
I agree.
Giving you the invite. Come by the house,
dude,
too.
I got to go see the studio.
We can mess around and all that good stuff.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from my buddy Brandon. I just love this episode. I love just so many things about it. The hip-hop aspect. He just has such a great story, and I hope that really came through for you. If you did like it and enjoy it, go ahead and just share it on social media so other people can hear about Brandon's story, about his music. I mean, this guy's hustling. He's trying to make it, and I think he legit loves just talking to people and talking music and honing his craft. So go ahead and give him a share on this episode and give me a rating review on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. And until next time, get out there and hustle.